Thank you very much. Tonight, I want to do a little more teaching than preaching. A subject like this has to be taught because there are so many explanations and there are so many facts that have to be alluded to. And we've really moved through the program tonight so that we could give the major time to teaching. Subject tonight is the Lord's Day in the New Testament. And I'd like to begin by differentiating between the Lord's Day and the Day of the Lord. Now, you'll read both phrases in the Bible. In 2 Peter 3:9, you'll read, "The day of the Lord shall come. As a thief it shall come." And the dissolution of everything man-made on this planet will take place at that time. Now, the second coming of Christ and the events that are connected therewith, you'll find that that's the day of the Lord. But whenever you come to that phrase, the Lord's day, as in Revelation 1:10, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." That's not talking about the day of the Lord. That's not talking about the end of the world. That's talking about a specific day of the week set aside by God for worship, set aside by God for celebration, set aside by God for fellowship. I'm trying to do a lot of things now. Right now, I'm trying to give you the significance of the Lord's Day. I'm trying to give you the why of a Lord's Day. Mankind has to have a day of celebration. Number one, man has to have a day of fellowship with his fellow beings. Number three, man has to have a day of worship. Worship, the most intimate experience possible to man. More intimate than any relationship between a man and his wife. It's worship. Where the hot breath of the Holy Spirit sweeps over the soul, bringing cascading waves of celestial movement to the very core of man's being, where God actually gets in man at his very essence, where man is, and induces worship, adoration. Now, man looks at his wife and says, "I adore you." That's the wrong word. Only God is to be adored. Because adoration is worship. And a man should never worship another human being. Don't you ever forget that. So then, man needs a day of fellowship. Man needs a day of worship. Man needs a day of rest. Don't you? More now than ever, don't you? You need a day of escape from the cares of the workaday world, where today, in this industrial age, the pressures on man are of such that he would crack up if he couldn't get away from it all. And God gave man 24 hours of absolute immunity to secular affairs. What a blessing. And that's called the Lord's Day. And that's what it's all about. Now, at the risk of being redundant, meaning repetitive, I'm going to say that again. Man needs a day of celebration.
Amen.
Some of you said, celebrate what? Well, celebrate your being alive, if you can't think of anything else. You're still here. Come on out on the Lord's Day and celebrate your being.
Amen.
Didn't Shakespeare say it? To be or not to be? That is the question. Well, then you are. In the name of heaven, celebrate it.
Amen.
Now he says, celebrate what? Celebrate God. Man, I'm so glad God is. That I need a day just to celebrate him. Talk to me. That's what the Lord's Day is all about. Celebrate your being. Celebrate God's being. A bright young thing slipped up to me on the college campus. He'd read Kant, the atheistic philosopher, and he was feeling really wise. He said, let me run this by you. They always run into my office to run something by me that they have discovered, and they don't think I've discovered it. Young fellow said, let me run this one by you. I said, run on. He said, I think, therefore, I am. And then he rocked and then looked at me in his wisdom. Boy, he had something heavy on his brain. Hey, glad you're back on that organ there. Where you been? Don't let me miss you anymore unless you dead, sister. Y'all excuse me. I just had to let her know we've been listening. That young fellow looked at me and said, I think, therefore I am. And then he did that on me, you know. I said, sit down, boy. I said, let me run one by you. He said, go ahead. I said, God is. Therefore I am. And hence I think. Now that was heavy. I said, young fella, how in the world can you think if you are not? I think, therefore, I am. No, you gotta be to think.
Amen.
So Kant was wrong. But then how can you be if God is not? So then, once again, I'll run this one by you. God is, therefore I am, and hence I think.
Amen.
Talk to me.
Amen.
Now, the Lord's Day celebrates the fundamental, foundational fact that God is. And the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then the Lord's Day celebrates that I am. And then the Lord's Day does more. I'd like to celebrate that I not only am, but I have control of my mind. Just being sane is something to rejoice over in this crazy world. And the world is nuts. I don't want to stop and brew that. So now this Lord's Day then is something very vital. It's something very, very essential to our physical and mental well-being. Because we rest spiritually, physically, and mentally. Sears Roebuck doesn't bother me on the Lord's Day.
Amen.
The paper boy came by my house on the Lord's Day. And I said, son, see me tomorrow. I don't pay any bills today. This is the Lord's Day. The only thing I do is pay my church dues today. I'll see Montgomery Ward Monday. Now, do you understand what the Lord's Day is all about? There's no need to talk about the Lord's Day unless you know how important it is to you. 24 hours. Of rest from pressure. I don't let anybody put any pressure on me on the Lord's Day. Why? It's the Lord's Day, not yours. So get out of my way.
Amen.
Don't bring me any reports on anybody on the Lord's Day. Wait till next week and then forget it. Are you people listening to me?
Amen.
I want you to get a new appreciation for the Lord's Day. And it's exactly that, His day. And when we make it His day, we are fulfilled. Now, having said that, let's get into the thing you're waiting on. Which day is the Lord's day? Well, John said I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And Jesus himself answered the question right up front. In the book of Mark, what book did I say? Is that in the New Testament? Second chapter, what chapter? Verses 27 and 28. And he said unto them, now this is in red in my Bible, meaning that he, Jesus, said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man, and that's capital S-O-N, Son of Man, that's Jesus, is Lord also of the Sabbath.
Amen.
Now wait a minute. This is the only time in the Bible that I find that phrase, that the Son of Man, meaning Jesus, is Lord of a day. So that whatever day he is Lord of, that is the Lord's day.
Amen.
You understand? Well, now, there's a little word also in there that I'd like to talk about for the sake of these old scholars around who've been studying this a long time. You never really stopped to look at that also, did you? That also is there because there are two subjects in the verse. One of them is man, and the other is the Sabbath. And he said unto them, the Sabbath, that's one subject, was made for man. That's the other subject. And not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man, Jesus, is Lord also of the Sabbath. By implication, he's already the Lord of man. But he is Lord also of the Sabbath. So that the Lord of man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, I know what the Sabbath is. The Sabbath is a day. Now, I read that way back in the Old Testament before the New Testament was born. I found it in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, and the 8th verse. It says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So we know what the Sabbath is. The Sabbath is not a man. It's not a woman. It's a day. Did you see it there? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, what is a day? See, we got to settle all this. And then we'll have to find out which day is the Lord's day. Now, what is a day? Well, I've got to go this time to Mark. What book did I say? Mark, the first chapter. What chapter? Talk to me. What chapter? And the 32nd verse. What verse? It says, and at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed of devils. Now, when did they bring them to him? At even. At what? Even. And when is even? When the sun sets. Did you hear that? I said, did you hear that? Talk to me, class. Did you hear that? All right, the even is when the sun sets, right? Now go to the book of Leviticus. What book did I say?
Leviticus.
The 23rd, pardon me, 23, yes, 23rd chapter. What chapter did I say? And the 32nd verse. And if you look at the last phrase in the verse, it says, from even, say that, unto even. Say it again, from even. You say it on this side. From even unto even. Together shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. Now, when is the even? The even is when the sun sets. Huh? And the book says, celebrate your Sabbath from what? Even until even. You got that? And the book says, remember the Sabbath what? Day. So a day is from what? Even until even, or from sunset until what?
Sunset.
So now we know what a day is, don't we? We didn't say which day. We just saying, what is a day? A day is from sunset until what? Sunset. Now you know what got you mixed up? The Romans. The Romans came along, and you know how they define a day? From 12 o'clock until what? 12 o'clock. But the Bible says it's from what? Even until even, or from what? Sunset until sunset. That's a day, not 12 o'clock, 12 o'clock. So when New Year's comes, are you listening to me? When New Year's comes and they wait till 12 o'clock to blow the whistles at the factory, huh? Ushering out the old year and bringing in the new. They are 6 hours late.
Amen.
The new year got here when the sun went down.
Amen.
Talk to me. And it's been in here laughing at him. Old Father Time with the beard, you know. All right. Now, that's all right, don't worry about it. So now, here we have it. From even until even makes a day. What that really means is that the sacred time called the Lord's Day is from sunset one day to sunset at the end of the day. Now don't you ever forget that. Now that being true, which day is the Lord's Day, since the Lord's Day was said by the Lord to be the Sabbath day? I am Lord of the Sabbath. If I can find Sabbath, I found the Lord's Day. Well, in the book of Isaiah, what book did I say?
Isaiah.
The 58th chapter. What chapter?
Chapter 8.
And the 13th verse. We'd like to nail that down as to what day is his day. And it says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't my day. And it isn't the Jews' day. And it's not the Gentiles' day. The Lord said, my holy day. Do you understand? So then, you get it again. In Mark 2:27, Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. In Isaiah 58:13, the Sabbath is my holy day. And in that commandment that I read you, back in Exodus 20, and I stopped at verse 8, now I shall read on. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Now that took us a little further, didn't it? It not only tells me that the Sabbath is the Lord's day, but for the first time tonight, we have designated the seventh day. And it's sitting right there in the commandment. Now, that's not only said there, but if I can take you back to the creation of the world, to the book of Genesis, 2 chapter, verses 2 and 3, I'll start with verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day, now I know where the seventh day came from, over here in Exodus, because I've got it back in Genesis. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had created and made. And God blessed the seventh day. Now, wait a minute. That goes a little further. The Lord's day is the Sabbath day, Jesus said in Mark 2. In Exodus 20, we were commanded to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy because it is the day of the Lord. That's in Exodus 20. Now here, We are brought face to face with the fact that God blessed the seventh day. Good name. Sanctified it. Amen. Now, wait a minute. There's an it there, meaning that he didn't bless any other day.
That's right.
Huh? Now, there were 7 days in the week, but he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all of his work which God had created and made. So now we've got a new dimension here. That seventh day is a blessed day. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you should say, Brother Cleveland is a blessed man, well, you would sure be telling the truth. But what would you mean by that? If you told the truth, you would be saying, Brother Cleveland is a man who enjoys the presence of God in a special way.
Yes.
That's what blessing is.
Yes.
Blessing is not that you won $1,000 on the lottery.
All right.
Are you listening to me? Blessing is not that you inherited a fortune. A Bible blessing implies the presence of God in and with you. Then you are blessed.
Amen.
Now, time is secular. Naturally, just like everything else God created was secular. But he cordoned off 24 hours, called it the seventh day, called it my holy day. Huh?
Amen.
And every time that day comes around, God, in a special way, gets in it. God climbs into time. Just like God climbs into people. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. God in you makes you special. The Bible uses a word for you when he gets into you. He uses the word holy. Now, he doesn't really mean that you're holy intrinsically, but you are made holy by his presence in you. And he said, it better not bother you if I'm in you either. Be better for them to be put in the middle of the sea with a weight hung around their necks than to mess with a man that God is in. You wait till Wednesday night, boy. I got something for you. Some of you folk are afraid of your enemies and a lot of stuff. We'll clean all that up. But now, tonight, I am saying that there are 24 hours of every week that God has laid his presence on and in, and the time is holy time. In it thou shalt not do any work, he says, because it's mine and I've sanctified it. Whatever day that is. Now let's get a little closer. Now, Genesis 2 and Exodus 20 called it the seventh day, obviously of the week. How do I know? Because the first chapter talks about 6 days of creation. So the seventh day is simply the last day of the week. That's all. The Lord worked, and then he set an example by resting. And that is a natural thing to do. We don't rest and then work. What you're tired of. We work and then rest. That's the way the week is set up. And the seventh day is stuck over there on the end of the week, waiting on you so you can rest. I had an old lady tell me, you know, I knew there's something funny about that seventh day. I never did want to work on Saturday. She said, now I know why. Yeah. That's right, sister. The Lord didn't mean for you to work on Saturday. Because Saturday is the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is the Lord's day. It's the last day on your calendar. Sitting there. It's been looking at you for years. You haven't been looking at it. Seventh day, Sabbath. It's a funny thing, though. Some folk think that the days got mixed up so that today you don't know which day is which. I got news for you. In Ecclesiastes 3, 14 and 15, it says, and I quote, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth. I'm reading. That which hath been is now. Verse 15. And that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Now wait a minute. What you just heard is that man can't mix up what God put down here.
All right.
You know, it's funny how many fooled around with everything God ever made. But you can still tell what's still here and identify it. Gets a little hard sometimes, but you can still identify it. Let's see if I know what I'm talking about. God made the sun, creation.
Yeah.
You know what the sun is? Made the moon. You know what a moon is? How'd you get married without the moon? Come on. You know what the moon is. Know what the stars are? Still hanging out there. Whatsoever God doeth shall be forever. That's what the book said. What about fish? Men go out and fish, and somehow the mother fish give birth to more fish, and the fish go on and on and on in spite of fishing men. Whatsoever God doeth shall be what? Forever. Look at man. Man been killing men ever since Cain killed Abel. For every kid killed, every man killed, two or three kids are born, so that we're suffering from overpopulation of the earth right now. Not enough food to feed the babies being born. And by the way, there was a baby born today. And I told that papa, where is he? Stand up, brother. Let me see you. Where? Yeah, there he is. Proud papa. I'm gonna give you a Bible for that baby. You catch me on the way out, huh? All right, baby got here. That baby's upholding the wood. Whatsoever God doeth shall be forever. They'll fight some more wars, kill off some more people. But boy, it seems that during war, more babies get born than men get killed. So we wind up with more folks than we had before they started killing them. Are you listening to me? Whatever God doeth shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. You better remember that. By the way, that's scientifically true, too. Nothing has ever really disappeared from this planet. Men may... matter can neither be created nor destroyed. You learn that in school. Men may rearrange things, but they can't dissipate anything, and they can't create anything. Think about that for a week. All right. So then, whatsoever God doeth shall be forever. And when the seventh day came, the Lord blessed it, sanctified it, and rested on it, and then commanded man, remember my day and keep it holy. So nothing got lost. The Lord said, I won't let it get lost. And I believe him. What do you say? As a matter of fact, when I get to the New Testament, this is what I find. I told you I'd give you some New Testament business here. Mark the 15th chapter and the 42nd verse. Will you look at that? This is what it says. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath. Now Jesus said the Sabbath is the Lord's day. Jesus called it his holy day. And the day of the crucifixion here is called the day before the Sabbath. Now, when was Christ crucified? Well, on Good Friday. Now, you tell Armstrong that I said that. You hear me? Tell old man Armstrong to quit talking about crucifixion being on Wednesday. I can prove it was on Friday. Right in the Bible. In the book of Luke. What book did I say? Luke chapter 24 and verse 21. Will you think with me just a minute here? But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Wait a minute. What things were done? Look at the verse above it. It says they're talking about crucifixion. And these two disciples were on the way to Emmaus, and they were joined by Jesus, and they didn't know it was Jesus. And they were telling him all about his own crucifixion, not knowing that they were talking to the Lamb of God that had already died and was resurrected. And the Bible says, today, meaning the day that they were talking and walking with him, is the third day since these things were done. So if I can find out what day that was that they were walking and talking, then, ladies and gentlemen, I've got the day of the crucifixion. Because one of those men said, today, whatever day that is the third day since the crucifixion. Well, now I've got it. I found what day that was that they were walking and talking. It didn't take much searching to do to find it, because it's right in the chapter. Look at the first verse. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre and all that. Now, what day of the week was that? That was the first day of the week, better known as Sunday, the day on which Christ rose. Now, you know he rose on Sunday, didn't you? Well, if you didn't know it, turn to Mark 16:9. It says, and now when Christ was risen early, the first day of the week. So we know what day he rose. Is that clear? All right. Now, it is on the first day of the week, the same day that he rose, that he's walking along with these men and talking with them about the crucifixion. Huh? Now look at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day. Airtight. The radio church of God would dissolve if they'd ever read this. Armstrong would have to come join me if they'd read this. It says, and they went that same day to the village of Emmaus. So it was on the first day of the week, that same day, that Christ rose from the dead, that he was walking and talking with these disciples, and one of them let go this telltale clue. Today, which is Sunday, is the third day since these things were done. All right. If Sunday was the third day since the crucifixion, count with me. Sunday, Saturday, Friday. That is the only way you can ever prove the day of the crucifixion. And I just did it for you. Amen. Don't you ever forget that. So we know the day of the crucifixion. And in Mark 15:42, go back there now. Go back there now. It says that that day was the day before the Sabbath. And Jesus said that the Sabbath is the Lord's day. Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. If you take away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. Huh? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. So that when John said in Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It's simple that the Lord's day is the 7th day. 7th day is the Sabbath day. Sabbath day is the day after the day of the crucifixion. Why, it was called, the day of the crucifixion was called in Mark 15:42, the day before the Sabbath. And in Mark 16 and verse 1, it says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and the rest of them came to the sepulchre." So the Lord's day is the day before the resurrection, not the day of the resurrection. Nowhere in the Bible do I read that the day of the resurrection is the Lord's day. But again and again I read that the day before the day of the resurrection is the Sabbath, is the Lord's day, is the seventh day, is Saturday, is sad day. Now the Sabbath comes between Friday and Sunday, like Christ hanging between two thieves. The Sabbath comes between Friday and Sunday, like I come between my two brothers. One of them is older, one of them is younger. If you'd like to meet me, don't shake hands with the older one. He was born too early. If you want to meet me, don't look up the younger one. He was born too late. If you want to meet me, you look for the Cleveland. It was born after the old one and before the young one. And there's only one in there, in that middle, at me. You listen? Sabbath come between Friday and Sunday, like a piece of cheese between two slices of bread. Now, whenever you bite down on that sandwich, what are you going after? You are after that cheese. Talk to me. And you don't stop biting until your molars penetrate that cheese. And when you get in there and get that Sabbath, you say, good. Now, do you understand? I'd like to tell you how the days of the week got their names. Well, the Egyptians did it first, and then the Romans got it from the Egyptians. Romans got a lot of things from the Egyptians. But this is one of them. Some good, some bad, some indifferent. But this is one of them. And they named the first day of the week in honor of the sun that shines, because to them, the sun was the god. The Egyptians worshipped Balder, the sun god. They worshipped Isis and Osiris, and all of these were related to this UN that shines, and they couldn't see anything bigger, so they worshiped that. See? And they named Sunday after the sun. It's even spelled that way. S-U-N-D-A-Y. Got that? And they called it Sun's Day. They named Monday after the moon, and they called it Moon's Day. This is how I got the names. It's all sitting up in history, so I've just read it and I'm laying it out here. Third day, they called it Tithes Day. Fourth day, they called it Woden's Day. Fifth day, they called it Thar's Day. See? When I was a boy, they used to tell me the old Thar, the Greek god of thunder, was beating his wife over the head with a hammer when it would rain and the sun was shining at the same time. Any of y'all old enough to remember that? Yeah, don't try to act. You know all about it. Yeah, sure. Trying to act young. All right. Now, that's Thar's Day. And then, of course, Friday was named after the god Frigga. And it was called Frigga's Day. And Saturday was named after the planet Saturn. That's why it's called Saturn's Day. And, of course, folk got in so big a hurry they couldn't, you know, as things sped up like airplanes flying and all that crazy thing. Men started even walking faster. Then they started talking faster. And they didn't have time. They said, "Come over and eat dinner with me this coming Sun's Day." They got time for all that stuff. They said, "Where you going for dinner?" "Sunday." Moon's Day became Monday. Tithes Day became Tuesday. Water's Day became Wednesday. Thar's Day became Thursday. Sugar's Day became Friday. And Saturn's Day became Saturday. And who stops to say Saturday? Except the educated people. So now, the way I operate, they say Saturday. Now, let me tell you something. What you want to remember is that Saturday is the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day of the New Testament. And Jesus kept his own day while he was here. Amen. Now, you find that in the book of Luke. And I want my ushers to get those lectures ready for when the people go out and they can take some of this home with them. All right? So we got the book of Luke, haven't we? Huh? We've got the fourth chapter, haven't we? And we've got 16th verse. And he came to Nazareth. That's talking about Jesus. Where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Now there's a little phrase in there that gives him away. It says, as his custom was. So Christ's custom was to keep the Sabbath, the seventh day, Saturday, the Lord's day. What is your custom? Now, as I look at the apostles, and then I'm going to close with one more little bit of dessert. As I look at the apostle Paul, I find in the book of Acts, what book did I say? The 18th chapter and the 4th verse, these revealing words. And he, Paul, reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So the Gentiles were going to church on the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, in Acts the 13th chapter, verses 42 to 44, I read those words explicitly. 42, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of the Lord. Those people were worshiping from Sabbath to Sabbath, not from Sunday to Sunday. Now that brings me to this last little quick thing. I would do you a disservice if I sent you home and didn't tell you how men started keeping Sunday. And I can do this in 5 minutes. Write this down. In the year A.D. 125. Now, come on, you old soldiers now. I'm giving you some new dates. Don't sit up here like you know all this. Just start writing it. Look down and look like you're writing. In A.D. 125, a man by the name of Sixtus introduced the subject of honoring the day of the resurrection, the festival of Easter. 75 years later, in A.D. 200, a man by the name of capital V-I-C-T-O-R-A, noticing that the annual festival of the resurrection was not catching on fast enough, proposed the institution of civil penalties on anybody that did not observe the annual festival of the resurrection known as Easter. You got that? In A.D. 314, a Roman emperor by the name of Constantine wrote a law, which I have in the back of my Bible in Latin, in which he designated Sunday as a weekly celebration of the Lord's resurrection. A Roman emperor now. His name? One of the Constantines. There were several of them. But this one got us in trouble. And he ordered all civil servants, everybody that worked for the Roman government, wherever in the world, should observe the weekly festival of the resurrection under the threat of imprisonment or worse. On March 7, A.D. 321, now that's your date. On March 7, A.D. 321, Constantine decreed that not only civil servants, but wherever men walked the earth, they were to cease keeping the seventh day Sabbath of the Bible and instead observe the weekly festival of the resurrection known as Sun's Day. In A.D. 336, the Roman Catholic Church borrowed Constantine's law, and at the Council of Laodicea that ran from 336 to 364, they passed 150 laws against keeping the seventh day, Saturday, the day that God originally set apart for worship, for celebration, for fellowship, for rest. The Roman Catholic Church officially adopted the day designated by Sixtus, Victor, and Constantine. And in the year 330, fall back a bit, Constantine moved his capital from Rome to Istanbul, and it became known as Constantinople. And he left Rome to the Pope, and the Pope took over. And the Pope had access to Constantine's armies. And when during the Council of Laodicea, 336 to 364, they tried to blot out the Sabbath and they transferred all of the privileges and responsibilities of Sabbath observance, and I'm quoting, are now conferred on Sunday, first day of the week, day of the sun, dies solis. Venerabilis dies solis, do it all. The venerable day of the sun, I'm quoting. And they transferred it and they passed 150 ordinances. And ladies and gentlemen, it's incredible. I sat there and read what the yellow went. Well, you wonder where the Sabbath went. Until you read the ordinances of the Council of Laodicea, and you know where it went. Was trampled underfoot. But thank the Lord. It didn't die. Something stubborn about what God does. Book said it'll be forever. Nothing can be put for it nor anything taken from it, because God did it that men should fear before him. We wouldn't fear God if men could change God's laws and make it stick. For the Lord doeth it that men should fear before him. Amen. And so we come down to January 18, 1563, to the Roman Catholic Council of Trent. Council of capital T-R-E-N-T. And a Roman bishop by the name of Caspar del Fuso, Bishop of Reggio, capital R-E-G-G-I-O, stood up and addressed that council. And he used these words. He said, assembled bishops, tradition is of equal force with scripture, and I'll prove it. The Roman Catholic Church gave the world Sunday as a day of worship, and they have accepted it without scriptural authority. And this proves that tradition is of equal force with scripture. And I read it, and I said, oh yeah, scripture has an equal? I didn't know that. I thought the word of the Lord stood alone. I didn't know that men could make a change in the will of God and it stick. And I dedicated my life to making it come unstuck. Amen. And for 41 years, I have rambled this planet. I didn't say this country. I said 41 years I have rambled this planet with my crowbar.
All right. Amen. Yes, sir.
And wherever I can find a man that'll listen to me, I have taken this biblical crowbar and stuck it into his brain and got it under Sunday. Are you listening to me? And I yank and yank and yank. And sometimes Sunday's been in that head so long that the nails are rusty. So you can hear some screeching. Persecution broke out in Europe, finally. And then we're going to bring something sweet on. We're going to bring Dwayne on with a sweet song to make you feel good enough to come back Wednesday. Persecution broke out in Europe, and the European got on some shaky boats and came here. They brought Sunday with them. And Sunday became the day of worship here. Not long after, some Europeans brought another boat over here with some black folks on it. So the white man came over on a boat. Sunday came over on a boat. Black man came on a boat. Now we're all in the same boat. You know I'm telling you the truth. If you never even heard it before, you know it's the truth. You know it. Down in your heart, there's something telling you that man sure ain't lying. So now the white man come on the boat, brought Sunday on the boat, went back and out, got us on the boat, brought us over here, we're in the same boat. White man taught the black man Sunday. Black man taught his children Sunday. His children taught his children Sunday. And his children taught his children Sunday. And his children taught his children taught his children taught his children Sunday. And his children taught his children Sunday. And his children taught his children taught his children taught his children Sunday. Until your great, 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 great grandmother taught your great, 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 great grandmother Sunday. Your great, 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 great grandmother taught your great, great, great grandmother Sunday. Your great, great, great grandmother taught your great, great grandmother Sunday. Your great, great grandmother taught your great grandmother Sunday. Your great grandmother taught your grandmother Sunday. Your grandmother taught your mother Sunday. And when you were born, Mama started saying, "Ain't it a sin to work on Sunday? Ain't it a shame?" And that's how you got Sunday. Now go back and read your Bible. It says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all of your work. But the seventh day, I said the seventh day. I said the seventh day. Singular. And the, you English linguicians, the is a definite article. And whenever the comes in front of a number, you can't wiggle.
That's right.
The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not.
Amen.
Come on, Saint Dwayne, let's go home.